The numbers told the story, they always do.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Hour number two of A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. It's Gil Alexander. Jeff Parlay is here as well. Still to come this hour, Paul Spohr on Major League Baseball. Wes Reynolds will join us just before he is part of the crew that does the Lombardi line. Did I Michael back on the Lombardi line today? Anybody? No, not today.
Wes Reynolds and Patrick Maher.
The great Patrick Maher and Wes Reynolds. So Wes will join us prior to them doing that at the top of the hour. NBA draft is on Thursday. First of all, this is the time of year, now that the Warriors have secured their fourth title in 8 years. Have I mentioned that on this show before? By the way, again, the Bill Simmons take that somehow this is not a dynasty. Bill, listen, sorry to share this with you, but you're not the arbiter of what a dynasty is and is not. Let's just put it that way. If you don't think the Warriors four titles in 8 years is a dynasty, where two of those other years they had 73 wins, and one of the other ones they lost because one of their players popped their Achilles and the other blew out his knee during the finals, I don't know what to tell you. But besides the Bill Russell Celtics, they're better than any Celtics dynasty that's ever existed. Let's just put it that way. Again, modern-day history, I would put the Lakers 6. Excuse me, Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen 6, followed by the Lakers and Magic's 5, followed by this Warriors team as the three best dynasties in basketball of our lifetime. Now, this is a nice time of year. By the way, you were also saying, Jeff, off-air, we were just talking off-air about how Draymond is getting into it with Ja Morant on Twitter, which is, like, so stupid of Draymond. Like, Draymond, stop. Like, it was one of his teammates. I was just like, why are you engaging them? Anyway, I was in San Francisco on Saturday, just a reminder of just how beautiful it is when the weather is beautiful there. And traffic was messed up because they're all setting up for the Warriors parade today. At least that was their excuse. And they made the decision today, no rally at the Warriors parade. So they're just doing a parade, and then no one's speaking.
Yeah, I don't quite understand that.
Is that COVID related?
Who knows?
And they're deciding to do that? Yeah, or they're just like, yeah, it's our fourth. What else are we going to say? You know, but think about the Bay in the last, 13 years. Three Giants World Series and four Warriors titles. Good God. They are blessed. Anyway, you were saying Memphis has become the most, this postseason, they've become the most loathsome team in the NBA?
I don't know if I'm willing to go that far, but they definitely have taken a big hit, to their likability this postseason. Really started when Dylan Brooks broke Gary Payton II's elbow.
The attempted homicide. Yeah, and then this whole thing afterwards, just shut up.
This is just nonsense. And then Jenkins acting like a buffoon the whole series, too, after that.
Well, what was interesting about is when we went over the NBA futures for next year, and we were going through, the Warriors are plus 650, and all these other teams are close, the Clippers, the Brooklyn Nets, and, of course, the Celtics being the other three teams up there. And we were going through the best value, and we thought the Mavericks and the Nuggets had really good value in the teens. Maybe the Pelicans is a long shot at 40-1 had some intrinsic value. But I would always ask at the end, no love for the Grizzlies? And you and Kelly and Matt on primetime, very quick to be like, no, don't really see it. Don't really see it. To win a title anyway, you know?
They could win 55 regular season games again, but they're not winning. They're not winning four best of sevens.
Anyway, didn't mean to go off on a Grizzlies tangent, but this is a nice time of year once the finals are done, is because now here in Vegas, especially summer league coming up July 7th through the 17th. You're going to go to how many over under on number of summer league games you'll attend, Jeff?
Regardless of whatever that number is, it will be an under.
Oh, really?
Well, that event was so much fun to go to about 5-6 years ago. And it has just gotten so out of control where you can barely, like, in the past, you could go in, you get both gyms, basically sit wherever you want in Cox Pavilion, which is the smaller one, sit wherever you want in Thomas and Mack. But now it's hard. Unless if you get there right at the beginning of the day, it's hard to sit wherever you want to.
Jeff, we're going.
All right.
I'm dragging you out there.
I guess we're bending me over then.
I'm dragging you out to Summer League.
I have no problem with that. Those are fun days.
Any interest in doing the show from Summer League, or are we too early in the morning?
Oh, that's well, you know, I think that's a conversation we should have with someone else.
You know, if only we were sponsored by BetMGM. So there's Summer League. It's a nice time of year because of Summer League here. And, of course, because it's the NBA draft this week. And this is, again, a bettable activity. Though not like the NFL draft, I will acknowledge. Not like the NFL draft because, obviously, the NFL, we bet every which way. And it has been a historically profitable thing. The NBA draft, I mean, here's the thing. We are in Las Vegas, Nevada. Entry number 5,400,004 on this. Do you know how many shops here in town actually have a single? I'm just talking about one. How many shops in town have even one NBA draft prop up to bet? Any guesses? I already told you.
You already told me.
The answer is one. 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 Shout out to William Hill for having this up. And all they have up, I believe, is the first overall pick. I could be wrong about that. But if you are in a jurisdiction, and by the way, maybe BetMGM has it in other jurisdictions. They just don't have it in Nevada.
They do have it in the jurisdictions that allow draft betting.
Yes, correct. Something like New York, I believe, does not allow draft.
No Connecticut, no New York. I didn't see them in the Pennsylvania version.
Yeah, so wherever it is allowed by regulation, they have them there too. DraftKings obviously has a bunch up. I will tell you, DraftKings has. And we will step up our NBA draft coverage tomorrow with Drew Dinsick, who's been really getting into it. Adam Stanko will join us later in the week. So we will have many an opinion before Thursday night's NBA draft. Again, an NBA draft where the Magic have the first pick via the lottery, and the three players that are on top of the board, Jabari Smith from Auburn, Chet Holmgren from Gonzaga, and Paolo Banchero from Duke, largely considered to be the three players that are at the top of that draft. But then Jaden Ivey, I think Jaden Ivey is about as big of a lock to be the fourth pick in the draft if Sacramento decides to keep it. Little pushback on that because it's like, oh, well, why would Sacramento want to draft a guard of all things at four? But Jaden Ivey, for many, clearly would be the fourth pick in the draft. So anyway, for those who can bet this in other jurisdictions, and again, at DraftKings, just to be clear on this, and I want to be accurate, but I'll tell you what they have available at this point, Jeff. I mean, they have, first of all, they have an entire NBA draft section. I'll go Cronkite on this. They have pick number in terms of first, second, third, fourth, fifth. You can go 1 through 5. They have top 10 bets. They have player draft position bets that are available. They will be who will be drafted first, matchups, each individual team's first pick. I don't know if they have each individual team, but they have many, at least three different teams who will be their first pick. And so, again, we'll get into it with Drew and with Adam Stanko later in the week. My first thought, though, is let's just talk about the NBA first overall pick, where Jabari Smith is minus 165 to go number one. Now, Orlando has that pick. There's obviously always a possibility of a trade, but right now it's Orlando and Jabari Smith in the betting markets at BetMGM here in non-Nevada. Jabari Smith is minus 165, always shop around. Chet Holmgren plus 140, and Paolo Banchero is 9-1. Let me ask you a question, Jeff. This is a multi-pronged question. First question, are you 100% sure that Jabari Smith is going to be the Magic's pick at number one?
As soon as Orlando won the lottery, the first text message I sent to one of my friends was, this pretty much locks in Smith going one because of the history of Orlando taking the tweeners that they usually do. I think he's going number one. Now, do I want to lay $1.65? Like, you have to at BetMGM? No, I don't. But I have a hard time seeing anyone else going number one. Could they take Holmgren? Sure. But it's really just one of those two guys going number one. Once you get past Holmgren, you're not winning your bet in all likelihood.
Can I push back on that a little bit?
Go ahead.
So the Magic have Jalen Suggs, obviously out of Gonzaga, who, let's put it this way, didn't light up the world his rookie year. Is that kind? Is that a kind way of putting it? Cole Anthony, obviously, the old Carolina product. Franz Wagner. So, I mean, they've got these, you know, a bunch of college names that are, you know, could end up being pretty solid pros. Wendell Carter Jr., Mo Bamba. So they have a lot of players What they don't have is a lot of people who can create their own shot. Like a few of those guys, like Suggs, Anthony, Wagner, I mean, kind of, sort of, but not really. They're not scaring anybody. They don't have anybody that really consistently creates their own shot. And Jabari Smith and Chet Holmgren are not players that can consistently create their own shot. Jabari Smith, great knockdown, 6'10" jump shot. No one is disputing that. Chet Holmgren, great interior defender, one would think. He's got to eat a sandwich or two. But Paolo Banchero, like, Duke's offense often ran through him. He makes great decisions and can create offense. You don't think all those other Magic players become better if they draft Banchero, who, by the way, is 9-1 here at BetMGM. You could find him at 12-1, I believe, at DraftKings. Last I looked, I'll look again. Here in town, by the way, at the only shop, Will Hill, that has it, not even that good. It was 7-1 last night. You don't think there's an outside shot? Paolo Banchero will go with the number one pick in the draft? And by the way, if anybody trades up for number one, that's the dude they're picking, in my opinion.
I don't see it. But if I were making the pick, that would be the pick I would make. But that has nothing to do. Again, the pick I would make has nothing to do with what Orlando's going to do.
But, Jeff, you know how many people, because I would make Paolo Banchero my first pick. You know how many people have that sentiment? At some point, the Magic, they got one job, Jeff. They got to know who to draft number one. Isn't that the dude? Shouldn't we be making a long shot bet on Paolo Banchero?
I don't think it's going to win, but I understand where you're coming from.
I'm making the bet. I'm making it. Coming back, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Gil Alexander, Jeff Parlay is here as well. Jeff and I were continuing our conversation that we had last segment here during the break. You didn't get to finish your thoughts on that. And basically what we're getting at, basically what I'm getting at is, if you're thinking he's the best player, talking about Paolo Banchero now, in case you missed it, I believe that that's a bet. I believe that here we are 3.5 days before the NBA draft, and Banchero is a distant long shot to go number one. Yeah, he's the third shot, but he's a distant third shot. Again, as high as 12-1 in some spots, as low as 6-1 in others. Got to shop around. But you can get him at 9-1, 12-1, 11-1, I'm saying still. So 3.5 days before the actual event, basically the market is saying he ain't getting picked first. But I'm sitting here saying I'm making that bet. Because especially also, if somebody trades for number one, that's the guy they will trade to draft. But I think the Magic, I mean, we just saw an NBA postseason where, again, it's loud and clear that if you are to be an impact player in the National Basketball Association, the most impactful, you got to create your own shot. We even saw Jason Tatum is a great example here, Jeff, where Jason Tatum, who was, as you said it, it was like proclaimed that he's the best player on this basketball team, the Boston Celtics. But yet even Jason Tatum has trouble sometimes creating his own shot. He's like slow dribble kind of thing. Now, when he makes his mind up, he's like, I'm driving to the hole and doing it, like, this different story. When he's in motion, when the play's in flow, he's great on that. But like when he's just set up dribbling, he has trouble even himself. Whereas the Steph Currys of the world, right? Who's, you know, again, the most underrated thing about Steph is his handle. Well, Banchero is one of these guys, and especially at his size, who actually can create offense, not only for himself, but for others, makes others better. And so I guess my point is, and you were saying, you know, you understand, even you would draft him first. Well, I would draft him first. And I guess all I'm saying is, at some point, don't cooler heads have to prevail and the Magic have to say to themselves, well, maybe we should draft this guy first.
Again, you're dealing with the Orlando Magic here. They've been a bad team for a long time for a reason, Gil. And again, Jabari Smith's skill set is an incredible skill set. So is Holmgren's, for that matter. So I understand why,
as I said,
why Orlando would go either of those directions. But
But you can't keep piling up players who have these nice little skill sets, but they don't mesh with each other.
That's why Orlando has missed the playoffs all these years in a row. But I still expect Smith to be the pick at number one. And now also, too, I'm just looking through books in Arizona because one book, thanks to Morikawa finishing in the top 10, I get a piece of that bet back through a promotion.
There you go.
So I'm trying to figure out if it's worth using the free bet on this. One major book does not have the first overall pick up right now.
Really?
They have the second overall pick, the third overall pick, the fourth overall pick, but currently no number one overall pick market, which is very peculiar.
We didn't do that, did we? No.
Hope not.
I hope not. Because we were just spitballing here. But it just seems to me to be a ridiculously weird price on a guy that should be the number one pick on the draft, in the draft. Again, Thursday night, the NBA. We'll have Drew Dinsick on to discuss his bets on the NBA draft tomorrow. And then, of course, Adam Stenko, who will join us as well later this week, who is tapped in seriously to this kind of event as well. Now, Deshaun Watson. Mark Maskey from the Washington Post just wrote a piece. Ross Tucker just did a podcast on it with him as well, that there is now some serious reportage that from Maskey that it looks like some people on the Watson side of things are fully expecting a year suspension. And we have said on this show from the moment that this all went down, and then we drove it home further when we saw the Real Sports piece, which people can say, oh, well, Real Sports piece is just a publicity thing. Okay, whatever. But they actually had two of the accusers. Is it 24 now? 26? I've already lost count. And maybe more to come. Who firsthand accounts of what went down. I won't repeat the details here. I would just say to you, take some time and watch it. Anybody who watched that, I said, anybody with half a brain, because I know believe me, I've talked to people who don't have half a brain on this. You can't watch that and not be affected by what you see and not really take what you saw to heart and what you heard to heart. And so, yeah, I came back the next day and I'm like, Scott, this 8 games minimum. And I was surprised we had guests that were like, well, I think that pushes it up to 6. I'm like, 6? What are you talking about? No, 8 is minimum. I think a full year, after a full year where he's already been gone, which would constitute the exact same 2 years that Trevor Bauer got in Major League Baseball, that seems to me to be the favorite now. And if that's the case, the Cleveland Browns will be without Deshaun Watson at quarterback. Here's where it gets into betting. And again, if you're just landing on the show for the first time, I always feel compelled to give the disclaimer. Yes, if you think it's somewhat callous of us to talk about things through betting after such a serious subject, well, that's kind of who we are. Sorry. We don't mean to in any way make light of the serious nature of what that is, but it is our jobs here to say how we can bet this. And so if Deshaun Watson, if you believe that the writing is sort of on the wall now that he's not going to be around for a year, I mean, we can't say this enough. Baker Mayfield ain't walking through that door. Baker Mayfield's not walking through that door, right, Jeff? No, hells no. It's with a Z, by the way. Their season win total, talking about the Browns now, is at 9. This courtesy of Circa down the street. Season win total is at 9. The over slightly juiced in the very competitive AFC North. AFC North odds to win it, yes, is plus 280. To make the playoffs, though, this is the one that is the most interesting. Again, the yes is plus 125. The no is minus 145. And there you see the AFC Championship, 15-1. But no to make the playoffs is only minus 145, given this latest reporting as the... And by the way, I don't think Deshaun Watson speaks very well for himself on his behalf here. Like, I don't, every time I hear him speak, I am not at all swayed. In fact, you know, if anything, I'm more entrenched in the belief that he is going to, I just don't think he doesn't, he says the words of to anyone I've hurt, but he doesn't give the impression that he even is attached to those words. Don't feel heartfelt at all. Maybe it's me. Anyway, the point is, from a betting standpoint, they're in a division, last I checked, with the Baltimore Ravens, the Baltimore Ravens, who were 8-3 before they lost it last year completely, the defending AFC champion Cincinnati Bengals, and oh, by the way, a Pittsburgh Steelers thing that a lot of people have just discarded, thrown into the trash, but was actually without any quarterback play last year. To make the playoffs? Playoffs? Who's going to be their quarterback at that point? Is there a bet here, Jeff? No? Minus 145, you in? We only have it at Circa. It's available at Circa here.
Wouldn't the under 9 be better?
Under 9 is good, too.
I mean, how are they getting to over 500 now with the extra game? How are they getting not only over 500 to push that, how are they getting to 10 if he doesn't play? They're not getting to 10. I mean, that schedule is very difficult for them.
Even if you said he's missing half the season, the season, how are they getting to 9? That's just it's just out there, just sitting there. And again, as bettors, it is your job to get ahead of this before the move, right? As opposed to just letting the actual news come. Now, the timeline on this remains that the NFL is hoping to get this settled and any appeal by the beginning of training camp. So we're talking about a month to have it all done. That's the NFL's hope. By the way, the one other quirk on this, it is most people's impression that Roger Goodell is judge and jury here. That is not the case anymore. Remember, it used to be that Roger Goodell ruled with an iron fist. He made the discipline. He reviewed it. He did the discipline. And that was the end of that. The NFLPA could appeal. Because of the 2020 collective bargaining agreement, that is no longer the case. Roger Goodell only hears the appeal now. He does not do the investigation. He does not do the discipline. And so whatever is decided by the NFL, only upon appeal would Roger Goodell enter the fray. So that's just one little difference here that people should be aware of on this, for what it's worth, because I know a lot of people are anti-Goodell, but just to let you know, he's actually one step removed from this at this point. So anyway, I would think huge betting opportunities both. You make a good point, Jeff. Both on the under 9 and to make the playoffs, no, at only minus 145. I'd bet those if he missed half a season. I think he's missing the full season. Really do. And I do think the Trevor Bauer precedent, though they'll never maybe admit it, sort of plays in neatly to this as well. We'll come back. Paul Sporer on Major League Baseball next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The VSiN Summer Special is here. For only $19, you get everything VSiN has to offer from now to the end of July. Sign up today, and you'll get VSiN's daily best bets, including Adam Burke's daily MLB best bets, NFL preseason coverage, premium articles on golf, UFC, USFL, and NASCAR. If you want the full VSiN experience, which features a daily best bets email, every edition of Point Spread weekly, use of our betting tools, and live video stream whenever you want it, cost is only $19 to be a subscriber through July 31st. Sign up now at VSiN.com/summer. Skill Alexander, Jeff Parlay is here as well. Is McHale doing F1 on that as well? Is that included in the package as well, or would we not include the McHale F1 place?
Well, that's a podcast.
By the way, it's McKyle, not McHale.
Yes, that's the podcast, which Wes Reynolds is also on.
They still doing it? Next. Little F1 podcast?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Racing Lines.
Racing Lines. Oh, that's a clever title. That is a clever title. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Bill Hooker. Should we still be requesting tennis plays at night on Twitter? I stopped during your vacation to respect your privacy during time off. Oh, that's very nice of you, Bill Hooker. Although we were in the same time zone, would have been nice for me. Don't want to be bothersome, but don't want to miss out either. Bill, that is so kind of you. Don't ever worry about that. During Wimbledon next week, during Wimbledon, the fortnight, the 2 weeks of Wimbledon, which starts next week, absolutely ask me on Twitter. There is, of course, a time zone difference. I'll be happy to give my picks during tennis's third major. The mailman, I believe, is referring to Banchero here. He says, I already bet him. I'm with you. There's no other choice. If winning basketball games is your objective, Cade 2.0, he calls Banchero. I'm with you, man. Matthew Mayberry. Isn't Jaden Ivey even more of a shot creator? We're going to look back in 10 years, and Ivey and Banchero are going to have these top two teams super mad about the picks they're about to make of Smith and Holmgren. Yeah, a lot of simpatico opinions here on the Twitter machine. This is Michael Lafon. He said, Deshaun Watson, I'm Ron Burgundy-ing here, Jeff, so stand by. Deshaun Watson, his PR team, his legal team have little or no insight into his situation. This is classical sexual addiction. He should follow the model of athletes who got in trouble with drugs and alcohol rehab, 12-step process, assessments, evaluations, but that's not happening. Ben Wilson is chiming in, too, by the way, on college baseball questions. Ben Wilson, who was, what, 9-0, and then he finally lost one yesterday?
Yeah, I believe he had the over in the A&M-Texas game, which somehow didn't go over.
It did, but he got the bad line early.
Correct.
Yeah, so by the time
it took the bad number.
Yeah, he took Ben. Ben's in here tomorrow, and Ben's in here Friday to talk college baseball with us. Let's talk Major League Baseball. With a great Paul Sporer at Sporer on Twitter, S-P-O-R-E-R, is the host of the Sleeper on the Bus podcast. And, of course, you can follow him not only on Fangraphs with all his stuff there, but also at twitch.tv/Sporer. It's Paul Sporer. How you doing, Paulie?
Gil, I'm well. How was your weekend?
It was great. It was beautiful. Went to San Francisco on Saturday. Oh, I don't know if you know this, but when the weather's nice there, it can be gorgeous. And then
I've been there when the weather's nice.
Yeah, yeah. It's not nice. It's kind of a different experience. And then yesterday was beautiful, but apparently next week here on the weekend, 106, 107. So
that's what we got here in Texas.
Yeah, I can't get used to
that. That's the norm right now.
And you got the humidity as well.
Yes, but it's worse in places like Houston.
Yeah. Oh, really? Is that? Oh,
yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, it's like way worse. I'm in Austin, so it's not quite as
San Francisco light, as we called Austin, Texas back in the
exactly.
day.
And now we're full on San Francisco. We got all the worst parts of you guys. And
the worst. That's right.
Everyone from San Francisco called it. And they nailed it.
Yeah, you're gonna get the worst parts. Everything. Dude. Trust.
Yeah, rent's up 50%. Anyway, continue.
I'm laughing because I don't want to cry. The
exactly.
Let's get to something. I think I was ending the last conversation we have. I think we threw this in at the end, but I want to like flesh this out. So we're 65 games ish into the Major League Baseball season. We go to the NL. Remember, expanded playoffs. There's going to be six teams per league, and there's obviously yes/no playoff bets that people can make. National League, essentially, there are seven contenders for six positions. I know it's way early to say that and eliminate a lot of teams, but right now it's looking like Mets, Braves, Phillies, Brewers, Cardinals, Dodgers, Padres, Giants. That's eight teams. Eight teams for six spots.
Yeah.
The two teams that don't make it again are, in your opinion?
The Phillies and...
You can say it.
Honestly, the Padres, if Machado's in any trouble.
That's my guy.
Like, I'm not even trying to cater to you with the Giants.
Yeah.
You can't have no Machado and no Tatis. I don't know what the latest is this morning. Maybe I should have checked. Diagnosed with left ankle sprain. So we don't really know yet exactly where we're at as far as how severe the sprain is and everything. They don't have enough horses without him. He's been carrying the offense, and obviously not literally single-handedly. That's not how it works in baseball. But he's been pretty close to that because it's a half lineup there that was desperately waiting to get Tatis back to go with Machado and a few other guys that are performing and kind of supercharge it. Now, if they're going to be waiting for both of them to come back at an indeterminate time, I don't know that they have the horses to do it. I really don't, and that would be my concern there with the Padres. The one thing that would help is that Preller's not going to take his foot off the gas, and we'll see what they can do either by calling up prospects or moving those prospects to reinforce. But I am going to say it's one of those NL West teams there. I do like the Cards and the Brewers, and the Braves are playing a lot more like a defending champion right now lately too.
X-rays negative on Machado's ankle, so they dodged it.
Anything on an MRI, though, because honestly, x-rays, that would have determined like a bone break, which I wasn't as concerned about. I was worried about like an Achilles popping or some tendons popping. So I kind of want to know where we're at with an MRI, if they've taken one. And
Paul Sporer.
It was scary.
Also a physician, Paul Sporer. I like it.
No. Yeah, yeah. Just picked up enough from following sports over the years to not sound completely stupid, unless some medical people are like, no, you sound like a total idiot. But I'm pretty sure the MRI is what we really need to know if anything's happened with the ligaments and whatnot. The x-rays being negative are good, so no ankle or foot break. but we're not out of the woods yet with Machado.
Yeah, and Mookie, by the way, Mookie Betts cracked a rib, ran into Cody Bellinger, but that will be 2 weeks, so shouldn't be too long for
maybe an extra week at max, I would think, if he's still a little tender, but we should be good.
Okay, and I assume when I gave, I shouldn't assume, but I believe when I gave those eight teams in the National League, that Marlins, Nationals, Pirates, Cubs, Reds, D-backs, Rockies, you're okay eliminating them from the sweepstakes.
Yeah, there's just no real reason to be in on them right now. You know, if the Marlins hit like an offensive surge, they have a positive run differential. They've got some elements there, but it would be kind of like one of those Cinderella summers as opposed to a true contender. So if they fight their way back in, we'll give them their due. But for now, they're on the outside looking in too. Same with the D-backs.
Yeah. And by the way, so for those yes-no playoffs, like you can get good prices on teams like the Giants, who again have surged once again. That sweep of the Dodgers seems to have propelled them. In the American League, it's a little more complicated. Yankees, Blue Jays, Rays, Red Sox, Twins, Guardians, I'll include the White Sox for the purposes of this conversation, and then the Astros. And I guess I have to include...
Kicking out the Angels?
I guess I have to include the Angels. So that's nine teams vying for six. Who are the three that miss it there? Angels Red and White Sox. Sox. Angels and White Sox, not even 500, by the way, at this point.
True. They're both under... you know, the Angels obviously gave away all of their goodness with the losing streak. White Sox lose a big player every day, it seems, to injury, and they're not playing their best. But I'm going to go Red Sox. I still don't trust that pitching. And this is repeats from last year. They're going to look dumb again. But I don't think so. I really don't. I just don't. They can't keep running with this pitching. And then I kind of want to believe in this Guardians team. So I'm actually going to say, I'll say the Angels because they always disappoint. I want that one to be wrong. I want the Angels in the playoffs, but I am worried about them now after the losing streak. They gave away all of the goodness that they had. Now they have to fight all the way the rest of the way. Rendon's gone. Not that he was a big part of it, but now you're living precariously. That pitching was already a little bit nerve wracking. So for me, I was thinking like with the banked wins, they have a good shot to make the playoffs now because if the pitching kind of gives up, you know, a little bit and comes back to the pack, they'll be fine. But now that they start all the way back at zero or even below zero, I think the Angels are in trouble because that pitching is a little too shaky.
So on record, your Angels, Guardians, and Red Sox, is that what you said?
Yes. Okay. No.
Angels.
I picked three.
Yeah, three out. Angels.
Red Sox. Angels. I'm going to throw out the White Sox. Oh, okay. I'm on this Guardians train.
Okay.
It's not just Ramirez by himself offensively. They got some offense. They've always had the pitching. I'm kind of in on them. I was mentioning them as a sneaky team. Now, I will point out, I just kicked out my World Series winner. I picked the Angels to win the World Series, and just kicked them out of the playoffs. But it's how I feel, though. I really am nervous about that.
All right, and Guardians to win the division, you can get it. We quoted plus 450 last week. I'm not sure what it is right at this moment, but they're plus money still and good plus money. Would you play that?
I'm certainly open to it, yeah. Like I it's not like a heavy play, but you think about it. They've got the pitching. They always do. They have reinforcements if guys, you know, fall off. They got a lot of guys that are kind of similar. They're going to get Savali back. Let's see if he gets back on track. And like I said, it's not a one-man offense anymore.
Okay. Guardians plus 400 to win the division. Real quick, because we got to run. Your favorite bet of the day. Is it to fade the Padres without Machado?
Yeah, let's go ahead and fade the Padres and get that Lance Lynn at DraftKings. Give him one more shot. It's 5,800. He's really low price. Let's see if he's back or not. And if he's crummy again this time, then we can move off of the Lance Lynn. But he's still too cheap at DraftKings. I got to take a shot.
Thank you, Paulie. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Gil. Take care.
Paul Spohr at Spohr on Twitter. Coming back with Wes Reynolds on the U.S. Open one more time. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets and risk-free tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program featuring exclusive exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager on the BetMGM app. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander, top of the hour. The Lombardi Line, hosted by Patrick Maher and this gentleman, in about 15 minutes. The glue that holds it all together, the Swiss Army Knife, also co-host of Long Shots, the greatest golf betting show there ever was. It's Wes Reynolds, everybody. How you doing, Wes?
Good morning, Gil. How are you?
I'm doing well. Did you have Matthew Fitzpatrick?
I did.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, I had 1-2-3 going into the final round with Fitzpatrick, Zalatoris, and also John Rahm. John Rahm, surprisingly enough, he was the guy that faded. Of the three, ended up, I believe, finishing T12 because I said, okay, you know, proverbial gun to head here, you know, who do you think's going to win of those three? I would say John Rahm because he's done it before, and he did it last year. Remember, he made a double on Saturday, was three back, and then ended up coming back birdie in the 17th and 18th on Sunday and winning. So I thought he's the most sure bet of Zalatoris and Fitzpatrick, who, oh, by the way, not only were trying to get a major, but their first win on American soil.
Ever. Yeah.
So they don't have PGA Tour wins, even though this isn't a PGA Tour event per se. It's USGA sanctioned, but you know, Matt Fitzpatrick and Will Zalatoris, a great show. Scottie Scheffler certainly a part of that mix, and he was the guy that was the danger man for me that I was worried about. It's like, I don't really have a piece of this guy, and this would not be good.
Yeah, I had Scheffler. I had Scheffler, who seemed spooked by the first few holes of that back nine. Not just yesterday.
Yeah, but Saturday as well. Saturday is when he had a two-shot lead, I think, through 10 holes. It's like, okay, this is the guy. And then I hearken back to our conversation we've had a couple times on this program, Gil. Is Scottie Scheffler, like, built different?
Yes.
Maybe. And I was like, you know what? Maybe Gil's right. Maybe he is built different because I'm always, you know, not want to go that route in terms of, like, okay, this guy's on a roll right now. I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment. I don't want to, you know, get too far ahead of the skis here. But this guy's really good, and he's only like 25 years old, and this guy's going to win a lot more. And you know what? I know he didn't win yesterday, but Will Zalatoris is going to get there.
So let me ask you two questions. One is about Fitzpatrick, reminding us, if you would, what it was about him that made you have bets here on this particular course in this event. But the other one is about Will Zalatoris. Second place now in three majors, and as you point out, still hasn't won a tour event. Do we have, just off the top of your head, a historical equivalent for this?
Gosh, and one doesn't come to mind, at least immediately. I'm sure that there is, but you know, I was having a little chat after the tournament was over with Kelly Bidlin, producer extraordinaire of Primetime Action right here on VSiN, and he also had Matt Fitzpatrick, and we were going back and forth on Zalatoris. It's like, you know what, Kelly, I'm probably going to bet him again for the Open, because if you look, most total strokes gained through the first three majors of this year, Will Zalatoris, number one, Rory McIlroy, Matt Fitzpatrick, Scottie Scheffler, just behind. So the thing about Zalatoris, and I kind of said to Kelly, it's like, we're hoping he doesn't get into like Xander Schauffele syndrome, where he gets close.
I hope not.
It just gets hard to break through. However, the one difference I think with Zalatoris and Schauffele, and not that Schauffele has not been in fights, but I mean, he has kind of come from the back and, you know, maybe backdoored those top fives. You know, when you look at that record in terms of his major record, like, you know, he's never finished out of the top five or top seven, rather, at the U.S. Open. Some of those are kind of like he just kind of hangs around, but he's not like right in the fight. Whereas Zalatoris was right in the fight this weekend at the U.S. Open. He was right in the fight at the PGA. He was in the playoff against Justin Thomas. The 2021 Masters, where he was right there with Matsuyama. So Zalatoris does have the scar tissue here. He has been in these fights. He's been close, hasn't gotten it done, but the guy just keeps coming back. I mean, that was devastating to lose the playoff at the PGA. So what does he do? He misses the cut the very next week at Colonial. And then the next event at Memorial, he gets the top five. So it's like he's got the resiliency. And he's got, I think, the toughness to where I don't know how much longer it's going to be before he breaks through.
I thought the putt on 17 was going in. I certainly thought the putt on 18 was going in. What about the one more thing about Zalatoris? There was this dissonant sort of stat thing they were throwing out, which is his putting, he's like 129th or whatever it was. And then they simultaneously threw up the stat that he also has gone the longest without three putting of anybody on tour.
He putts better in the majors.
Yeah, so what? That was what I was going to ask you. Is it that he putts better in the majors and we see him in the clutch putting on the biggest stages, or that he just misses a lot of really short putts a lot of the time that makes those two stats possible together?
It's probably a little bit of both, because look, that's what most young players, you know, there's always outliers, right? Remember Jordan Spieth when he first came on the scene and he won three majors. It's like, this guy just makes everything. You know, that's what it was. He just scrambles and somehow finds a way. But most young players, you could see it, and you could see it a little bit on Saturday with Colin Morikawa. A lot of these young upstarts are such great ball strikers. They're such great iron players. Zalatoris, I believe, over the last 36 rounds coming into this weekend's U.S. Open, was number one in the model. And I know you guys on Primetime Action, Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin, you know, we run the models every week in certain stats, and we always have approach as part of it. Last 36 rounds, he was number one on strokes gained approach, and you saw very good iron shots yesterday from Will Zalatoris. So, yeah, it's just random, I think, Gil. It's hard to explain.
It was very hard to sort of reconcile. And what was it about Fitzpatrick again? Was it the increased distance that made you want to jump on him on this?
Well, I mean, number one, I mean, these narratives don't usually come true, but he did have a win on this golf course as a 19-year-old amateur when he was playing at Northwestern. He won the U.S. Amateur in 2013. Now the third guy, only the third person, I should say, to win a U.S. Amateur and a U.S. Open on the same course. Jack Nicklaus did it on the men's side at Pebble Beach. Julie Engster at Bandon Dunes in Kansas also did it, and now Matt Fitzpatrick. But I just thought this was the type of course, putting aside that he won back there in 2013 for the amateur, this was the type of course that was really good for him in the fact that a U.S. Open is Matt Fitzpatrick's wheelhouse, I think, even though he had never won it or really contended before, because he avoids mistakes. He avoids the catastrophic mistake. And he also avoids bogeys. He was number one in my model 36 holes for bogey avoidance, also for 36 rounds, I should say, and also 24 rounds. And that's what you have to do at the U.S. Open. You've got to make 10 to 15 foot par saves. And that's what Matt Fitzpatrick was able to do. And then, of course, it helped that he made that 50-foot bomb that gave him the go-share of the lead. But that's 13, exactly what you have to do. You're not going to win the U.S. Open by making birdies. Like, Matt Fitzpatrick is not the type of player that wins a birdie fest where it's like you got to be 25 under par to win, like on a boilerplate PGA Tour event. He's a guy that grinds it out, gets pars. It also helps that in the final round, you hit 17 of 18 greens in regulation on a major championship Sunday.
That help? Yeah.
Who does that? Nobody does that. And he led the category in the week. He led for strokes gained off the tee. You mentioned his power.
Yeah.
He has gained power. And you look at the guy, he's not a yoke dude like Bryson DeChambeau. It's 165 pounds soaking wet. But somehow, some way, he's added power. I think Dan Hicks on NBC said he's averaged about 10 yards more on distance. I was like, I'm going to take the over on
that. I'll take the over.
Because this guy's become a bomber. I mean, those incredible shots he hit on those reachable par fours.
Yeah, PETA had the numbers on his Twitter. He was on earlier. It's way more than 10 yards, which really doesn't happen, right? It's really amazing to do this while on tour like that. And as you said, Fitzpatrick hits the 50-footer on 13. It's the 19-footer on 15. And then, of course, that shot from the fairway bunker on 18 that will live in infamy, live in U.S. Open lore, I should say, not in infamy, but in lore, where he was able to put it within 18 feet of the pin, which was just the shot of the tournament. Well, all three of those were shots of the tournament, but that one certainly will stick with us. Last thing, because we only have a minute left here, and you're coming on with Patrick, and I don't want to take everything, but the all-too-early, 3 weeks ahead of time Open Championship, golf's final major, coming up at St. Andrews. I'll just ask the Tiger question. I'll let you and Patrick suss out more of it. Tiger a part of this in your thinking?
I have to think so, because one of the things about Tiger Woods is that he is a student of history and he is very cognizant of history. He's won there at St. Andrews before. He knows St. Andrews, what do they call it, the home of golf, right? Yeah. It was invented over there. So he's going to do everything he can, I think, to play this event. And also, I wonder, and I know he hasn't made a ton of public comments about it, I wonder if just his presence is kind of like a statement, like, yeah, I'm not interested in this new LIV Golf Tour. And I think he's kind of said as such, you know, in a very politically correct way, you know, but he turned down the money to go there. And I think he almost feels like, okay, I'm the voice in this game still, even though I'm not out here every single week. I'm going to come out here and I'm going to make my presence felt and be with the guys and be with the normal guys on the tour. And also the fact that I think he wants to play St. Andrews one more time. And I think he feels like even not in peak form, he has a chance because he has such a great history there.
It's going for a 16th major, everybody. All right, maybe not. Who knows? We'll see. Never count Eldrick Tiger Woods out. Thank you, Wes. Appreciate it, man.
Good to be with you, Gil.
You too. Wes Reynolds and Patrick Maher hosting the Lombardi Line next from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Enjoy.